Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, March 28th, 2012. Almost getting into April. Spring is definitely here. And getting into the end of the month. It's hump day, middle of the weekday, and starting that long glide down to Powhana Friday here. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Dan the man is in the control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer your calls when you call on in. A reminder that Republic Broadcasting is still in the middle of its fundraising drive to raise equipment, raise money for new equipment so we can spread the message further and get up on the satellites and get on more AM broadcasters and all the rest of that stuff. And whoever calls in this week from today through Friday, the largest donor that calls in during my show will get the Gadsden flag that used to hang as our backdrop here in our little studio out here on Oahu as a little gift from us personally for supporting alternative media, which now's the time to really make the push. Remember, the only way we're going to get the big money influence out of politics in this country is for the little money to unite together in the common cause of restoring the republic there. Now, obviously, big news going on right now. Everybody's sort of gathered around the United States Supreme Court looking for this decision on Obamacare, and it's already turning out to be rather contentious situation here where they're basically looking at striking down as unconstitutional the whole Obamacare concept of the government mandating Americans to sign contracts with insurance companies. And the ramifications of that are going to be quite widespread. It's completely contrary to the idea of contract law going back hundreds and hundreds of years, where a contract is two sides make an offer, both sides then agree or not, and they sign the contract and proceed to keep their promises to each other. But when you have the government saying you must sign a contract, then it becomes a very one-sided deal, because the insurance companies can put anything on the table and say, look, you have to sign it. Yes, you're going to give us all the money and get nothing back in return, but it is a contract and the government says you have to sign it. And it's very alarming to hear some of these Supreme Court justices talking about, well, this could bankrupt the insurance companies, and we've got to take care of the insurance companies. No, actually, your job is to take care of the Constitution. If you are a sitting judge on the United States Supreme Court, you have one and one job only, to take care of the Constitution, the original contract with America. And I'm very alarmed to hear Supreme Court justices worrying about the fiscal health of insurance companies as they debate this issue. Now, one of the things that I think should send up warning bells for everybody is Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. She should not even be hearing this case. Remember, she used to be the Solicitor General. And as the Solicitor General, she helped write this law and then wrote a legal defense for it, which is now being presented to the court. So she's got a conflict of interest. Why is she even listening to this thing? And so the whole situation has just, I think more than anything else, underscored the fact that the United States Supreme Court, along with both other branches of our government, has forgotten what its original mandate is supposed to be and is no longer unbiased and above the politics. They're very much mired in it. And the last word we had coming out of the Supreme Court is that the Supreme Court may rewrite the law from the bench, which they're not allowed to do. And they're going to say, well, this part is okay, but this isn't, and this part is okay, and this isn't. That's not their job. They have to look at the law and say it's either constitutional or it isn't. And if it isn't, it goes back to the Congress, who will then rewrite the law, vote it through again, the president will sign it, and it goes back again for judicial review. That's the process. We're going to take a break for commercials here. When we come back, got more stuff to talk about on the economy, all kinds of crazy stuff happening. We'll be right back.
Work Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you ever find yourself in this situation? You're in your local health store looking for a remedy, and there are 20 different brands claiming to do the same thing. Well, it's time to stop worrying that it's a hopeless search. Fact is, every day we are exposed to an environmental medium that has become full of toxins. The only thing you can do to defend yourself is to find the solution. At TerraVim, we focus on carrying only the highest quality natural supplements. We understand it's a difficult task to filter through the multitude of options to find your divine source of immortality. Your golden apple. That's why we have made available to you products that are at the top of their game. Natural vitamins and supplements your body understands how to utilize. Visit our website at terravim.com. That's TerraVim.com to find what you've always been looking for, the solution. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, getting back to the situation about the Supreme Court pending ruling on Obamacare, Mitt Romney has come out basically and said that Obamacare should be overturned. So far, so good. Then he made the mistake of keeping his mouth open and proceeds to say that people with pre-existing medical conditions should be denied insurance coverage. In other words, Romney's idea is we'll sell you health insurance if you can prove you don't actually need it. Which, from a money junkie's point of view, makes absolute perfect sense. And again reveals that Romney's sensitivities are not for ordinary Americans, but like this judge on the Supreme Court, worried about the financial health of corporations. I think this is a case where we'd like to be able to pick up Mitt Romney, turn him over, and shake him in order to erase what is in his memory. But somehow, I think this one's probably carved right into that front glass on the old Etch-a-Sketch there. So I don't know what Mitt Romney is suggesting for people who have medical conditions. Government-assisted suicide? Give them a rifle, drop them on Iran, send them over to Fukushima to clean up the radioactive mess. A lot of people with medical conditions have been put into those medical conditions by the failure of the U.S. government to police food manufacturers, with the result that we are eating food provided by corporations that don't care about our health. Then we go and get treated for all the resulting illnesses by a medical corporation that doesn't pay attention to the food we're eating. And all along the line, it's how do we get money? How do we get more money out of the patients? This all goes back, again, to the Nixon administration when the whole HMO concept came up. And medical care went from being about medical care to just another way to generate profits and tax revenues. And so Romney's attitude is, if you already have a medical condition, if you were born with genetic damage from radioactive fallout from the Nevada tests or something like that, then tough luck. It's like what the government did to those soldiers. They marched into that nuclear bomb test in Nevada, and they all came down with cancer and leukemia, and the government said, it's not our fault. You joined the military. These kinds of things happen, and it's not our fault, and you got to pay your own medical bills. It's all about the money. The purpose of every single corporation and every single government in a fascist economic state is to extract the maximum amount of work product from you from the minimum amount of upkeep, which if you're wondering if that sounds like slave thinking, yeah, it is. Put them in a pen, give them, you know, whatever crud food they won't throw up, and then flog them as hard as you can to get work out of them. Now, for the last couple of months, we've been talking about the European economic situation and how dire it has been. We've been warning that there are indications that the United States government has been covertly propping up Europe's economies and Europe's banks in order to avoid triggering the credit default swap sold by all these Wall Street banks. Because these Wall Street banks, being unregulated, were selling these credit default swaps on everything to everybody and did not have cash reserves to cover any claims coming in. We know that Lord James in Parliament blew the whistle on $15 trillion with a T sent from the Federal Reserve to England to prop up the Bank of England so those credit default swaps wouldn't trigger. We know all these gold bearer bonds and bullion and all this other stuff keep showing up in Europe under strange, mysterious circumstances that allow the money to be confiscated and put into the European banks without a corresponding debt obligation. A while back, they were even trying to float this story about this mysterious Foundation X that had all this money that they were just giving out to Europe's banks out of the goodness of their own heart. But now, with the cover-up of all of this tithing, this propping up, collapsing, it's now official. The Federal Reserve is buying European government bonds in order to keep Europe from collapsing and harming the Wall Street banks. Meanwhile, of course, here in the United States of America, we still have record unemployment, record homelessness, record starvation. But by golly, the entire force of the U.S. government and the entire might of the U.S. financial system is going to be bent to prop up Europe's financial problems. Does this make any sense to anybody except a money junkie? It doesn't make any sense to me. What we need to do is just let those too-big-to-fail banks collapse. They made a stupid choice. They engaged in the history's biggest financial swindle. They should be out of business. They should be in prison. If the United States had done what Iceland did, jail the crooked bankers and fire the government that helped them do it, our economy would be on the way up the way Iceland's is. But instead, we have a government that continues to throw your good money after bad to prop up Wall Street and save it from the consequences of this record-setting, historical financial swindle they pulled. They're looting you to save Wall Street crooks from going to jail. It's not only Wall Street that's criminal, it's the federal government that's being criminal. They're aiding and abetting history's biggest financial swindle. And they're sticking you with the bill. We're finding out MF Global's mysterious vanishing of $1.2 billion of their customers' money isn't mysterious anymore. It was used to basically try and keep MF Global afloat, but it is a violation of existing law. for any kind of banking financial institution to just simply grab their customers' money out of the accounts and use it to pay their bills. And yet that's what happened. We now know that it went all the way up to the top to Corzine himself. I'm not seeing any handcuffs on him yet, are you? Meanwhile, Ben Bernanke is out there insisting that only by continuing to pour all this instantly created money all over the too-big-to-fail banks to keep them from failing is the only thing that avoided a second Great Depression. I got news for you, Bernanke. We're in that second Great Depression. We're there. We have not recovered from the crash of 2007 and 2008. We're still in there. We are in a depression. You failed utterly to prevent a second Great Depression. In fact, you brought it on with this reckless printing. You brought it on by not blowing the whistle on all these member banks that were engaging in this mortgage-backed security fraud. This is all the fault of Wall Street and the Federal Reserve, going all the way back to the fact that a private central bank issuing the public currency is a recipe for disaster. Because by design, it creates more debt than it creates money with which to pay that debt. But the money junkies want to believe that this is the way the universe is supposed to be. That some invisible man in the clouds wants the economy to be set up this way so that the people whose work produces the wealth have to give that wealth to the bankers who don't work to produce anything at all except paperwork and debt. It's not science. There's no science to economics. It's a religion. It operates on the blind faith of the supplicants. There's no science to economics at all. That's why it can't be controlled. It has a pseudoscience and a lot of mathematics to try and explain and justify, while the people who are working themselves to produce all this wealth, working themselves to death to produce all this wealth, why they're not allowed to keep it. No, it's not dictatorship, and it's not slavery, and it's not tyranny. It's just the way the equations the banks are using say it's supposed to be. You don't want to argue with the mathematics, do you? Well, you know, it's a funny thing about mathematics. You can make the mathematics say anything you want it to say, as all these bozos over with the carbon Nazis have been proving. Mathematics is not a source of truth if the mathematicians are intent on producing lies. And the biggest lie of all, the biggest fraud, of course, is this idea of compounding interest. It's a myth. It's not a law of reality, of physics, or of science. It's simply an arbitrary belief system. And it is used to control the world. And it is no more legitimate than rule by the myth of divine right, rule by the myth of chattel ownership of your body, or rule by the myth of compound interest on the money that the bank loans you to carry out your commerce with. We fought a revolution to be free of this kind of money junkie thinking, only to have a later government and president sell us back into that bondage again. And it's time to break free again. And if we don't, if the money junkies succeed in forcing this banking system on the rest of the world at the point of American bayonets, then the entire future of humanity will be slavery, with the vast majority of the world's people living in third world squalor and working themselves to an early grave. Because after all, if you've got a pre-existing medical condition, we shouldn't sell you insurance. So that people like Mitt Romney can have his brand new mansion on the beach in California, which has an elevator for his car. Now, here's a story. It's probably one of the ones that actually, we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to hold this into the next segment here. But as we look at all this brouhaha over Trayvon Martin and all the attention focused on it, we have to keep asking ourselves, what do they not want us looking at? What is being hidden? What are we being distracted from? You know, why is the wag the dog happening? And I think maybe, I found one. We'll talk about it as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsors.
purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And anytime we see something just being pounded in the media, you know, look over here, wag the dog, wag the dog. And we know that there's a political agenda behind the Trayvon case. Build racial tension for political gain for Obama in November. Possibly even trigger mass race riots, which would allow the declaration of martial law and the suspension of the Constitution. But even without those more extreme possibilities, it's obviously being used to draw everybody's attention away from other stories. And this is one that's rather interesting. There are whistleblowers starting to come forward from within the financial services industries, a lot of them. We know that there was a whistleblower regarding J.P. Morgan Chase's abuses of credit card accounts. We know a lot of whistleblowers came forward basically during the whole mortgage-backed security fraud and the subsequent foreclosure fraud. And now there's a new one. There was an interesting letter posted at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, U.S. government office, from a whistleblower inside J.P. Morgan that said the top bank managers were aware of and condoned using the investments and savings of their customers in these high-risk financial machinations to try and prevent J.P. Morgan from becoming insolvent. This is the same thing that we're now finding out Corzine was doing over at MF Global. And it's typical of the abuses that we have seen continuing to appear ever since the repeal of Glass-Steagall. Remember, we saw all this same kind of behavior when banks and investment companies merge together. Sooner or later, they start using their customers' money for these high-risk investments. And that was what turned the crash of 29 into the major Great Depression, the second greatest depression. In 1999, you know, the anti-regulationists led by John McCain were out there saying, oh, the financial services industry, they're mature. They can be allowed to form these mergers. And they repealed Glass-Steagall to retroactively legalize the illegal merger of Citibank with Travelers Insurance and Investment, Travelers Group, in order to form Citigroup. And immediately everybody started forming these mergers and going right back to the same reckless, stupid financial game playing that we saw back in the 1920s. And when they made money, they kept it. And when they lost money, they went to the government for a bailout on the backs of the American taxpayers. And so now another whistleblower has come out saying that J.P. Morgan is engaged in the same kind of shenanigans with customers' money that led to the downfall of MF Global. And here's where it gets really interesting. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission pulled this letter from their website almost as soon as it appeared, but not soon enough because age of the internet, it was copied off and reposted in a lot of other places. So now we have the Commodities Futures Trading Commission acting to conceal the financial crimes from the American people. Whose side are they on? Aren't they officially supposed to be looking for crimes and preventing these kinds of abuses in commodities trading? Apparently not. Not when they're deleting whistleblower letters from their website. You guys are busted. We know whose side you're on right now. My goodness. 2012, the year of the short sale. You thought it was the year of the dragon. I thought it was the year of the dragon. It's my fifth year of the dragon. No, it's the year of the short sale. Over 50% of all the MLS inventory in Southern California are being sold short for below their estimated market value, certainly for below whatever is remaining on their unpaid mortgages. They're trying to hide that from the realty market because it's going to drive property prices down. I remember not too long ago, they were seriously talking about trying to pass a law saying that real estate appraisers could not include foreclosed homes being sold in the same neighborhood when estimating the value of a house. It's all about keeping those housing prices up because that's what keeps you a slave to the bankers. Remember, if you could buy a house for $5,000 and pay it off in just a few years, then you are of no more use to the money junkies. The reason housing prices are so expensive is to keep you working for the money junkies for your entire working life. That price you pay for the house has nothing to do with the worth of the land or the cost of actually constructing the building on there. In fact, you will pay more money to the bank for the use of their money, for their permission to move into the house, than the actual house costs. But that's the reason housing prices are being kept up high, to keep you a slave to the bankers, to their debt. So, all right, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour here. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. So, getting back to Mitch Iskech and his comment the other day about how Russia was America's number one geopolitical enemy. Needless to say, the Russians are a little upset about that. We're going to take a break for some commercials here, and when we come back, I want to finish about this whole Russia demonizing, Russia bashing situation, and then we've got a caller on the line. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about Mitch a Sketch making a comment the other day about how Russia had become America's number one geopolitical enemy. And not surprisingly, Medvedev came back and said the GOP ought to check their clocks from time to time, because Mitch a Sketch's comment is right out of the middle of the 1970s, when Reagan was still trying to prop up the Cold War with all the talk about the evil empire. And he and George Bush Sr. basically bankrupted the United States of America, paying for all this Star Wars research that went absolutely nowhere. Many people don't remember this, but the 12 years of Reagan Bush Sr. saw the United States go from being the world's largest creditor nation to the world's largest debtor nation, all in that 12-year time span, and put us on the road to financial ruin. And then the mortgage-backed security fraud basically, you know, was the final nail in the coffin. I think that was the point at which it became impossible to repair the system from within, and we're just going to have to ride it down to destruction. And so Medvedev is absolutely correct in saying Mitch a Sketch is coming right out of the 1970s mentality, number one enemy. It's reminiscent of Hollywood propaganda movies, not the real world. And Medvedev made a very clear comment that I think we need to keep in mind. And that is that any candidate of any party has a moral obligation to be campaigning on current affairs, not something that happened in the 1970s and certainly not something that happened in the 1940s. It's 2012. Can we deal with what's going on in 2012? And apparently, with the exception of Ron Paul, none of our current crop of candidates can actually do that. So hopefully what we'll do is, you know, we'll calm Russia down by taking Mitesketch and turn him upside down and shake him. And the blacks of his eyes will disappear or something. Now, we got a caller on the line, Daryl in Minneapolis. Aloha, Daryl. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
This is kind of off your subject, but I was going through my YouTube channel this morning, and I got on one of the channels, and there was a radio show. I believe the gentleman's name was Rod Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about a court case where this gentleman's been in jail for 2 years, and it's involving he's talking about back to 1933, where the United States of America incorporated and became a corporation, that each individual department is its own separate corporation now. And he's mm-hmm. saying that American birth certificates that have been issued all come with a monetary value. And he's saying,
where are we going with this? I mean, I've heard all of this stuff talked about before, but again, you know, you're talking about something that supposedly happened in 1933. And, you know, I know that people like to argue back and forth over my, you know, interpretations of fine points, but I'm trying to keep a kind of a holistic view of getting back to the fundamental core problems. And I know governments will often redefine themselves. I know that James Traficante was talking about how the United States government was already in bankruptcy and had gone into receivership. We know that Nixon was pledging our public lands as collateral on the ever-growing national debt. But I'm not sure what exactly are you trying to say is behind all of this stuff, that, you know, this idea about government offices being corporations. We know that the IRS is a corporation. They're actually part of the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation, and not actually part of the government. So, you know, are we talking about how the government has actually been privatizing for far longer than we're aware? I don't think that's really much of a surprise.
Well, what they were saying in this is, when you go to court, that it's been a scam where the court systems, the counties, and the state are drawing money off your birth certificate. That if you go in with your birth certificate and lay it on just when they call you up, that they dismiss the case. He says there's several cases of this, and these videos. I was just wondering if maybe I could get your email and send them to you, and maybe you could.
My email is at the website wrh@whatreallyhappened.com, and you can send that over there. The reality is that all governments view their populations from a financial point of view, based on the expected tax revenues they will collect from them versus the cost of upkeep. And they definitely do think in terms of how much do we have to spend to keep them happy versus how much we can take back out of them as tax money. And so there's nothing new about that. You know, it is a financial transaction. I don't think there's a dollar sign on your birth certificate, but obviously each person within a population represents a potential source of revenue for the government, and they do tend to think in that way. So thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go here, and go ahead and send in those videos. But I think you're misunderstanding. The concept is definitely there, where population is viewed as a source of wealth and revenue for the government, but I don't think they're actually putting a price tag on us, because that skates a little too close to the idea of chattel ownership and slavery, which most Americans are definitely going to resent. Now, that being said, there are people in government that do have a very much monetary attitude toward the people. I want to read a quote for you. Okay, this is, All of us owe the government. We owe it for everything we have, and that is the basis of obligation. And the government can take everything we have if the government needs it. The government can assert its rights to have all the taxes it needs for any purpose, either now or any time in the future. And this is U.S. Senator Albert Benjamin Chandler, Democrat from Kentucky, from a speech he delivered on the Senate floor in 1943. And that basically is an attitude we continue to see from many members of the United States Congress, that the government, the federal government, actually already by default owns everything. And they get to decide how much you get to use for your own personal use and how much they get to take from you for whatever they're trying to do. And that's not a republic and it's not a democracy. We know the Federal Reserve's attitude is they own all the currency in circulation. It's only loaned to the country at interest. And they get to decide how much of it they print up, and they get to decide where it's going to go and how they're going to spend it. And that's a hijacking of the nation's monetary system. So we know that there are people in power, in finance and government, whose attitude is, it really does all belong to us, and you just have to go along with whatever we decide to do with it, until, of course, there is an intervention for the money junkies, which is what the modern name for a revolution here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this story about the JetBlue captain. For those of us who endure the TSA in order to fly in the United States of America, it's a little bit alarming, this story about a JetBlue flight from New York to Las Vegas, and all of a sudden the pilot is running up and down the aisles screaming about Al-Qaeda and bombs and we're not going to make it, and apparently the co-pilot locked him out of the cockpit, and the stewardess has tried to take him back to the rear of the plane and calm him down, and he just went wacko, and finally some passengers had to tackle him. Like, there was apparently wasn't a U.S. Sky Marshal on this flight. And they tackle him, and they put him on the ground, and he's been taken off the plane, and now he's been suspended. Gee, you think. And they're trying to say, oh, well, he was tired, he had some kind of a breakdown. I have two theories. One, I know he wasn't on alcohol 24 hours from bottle of throttle, but he was certainly acting like he was on a stimulant of some kind, amphetamines to get through the long schedule or something, and he finally fried out from that. Or he's walked through those naked scanners just one time too many, and it cooked his brain off. And I think we need to find out which one it is before we have some more pilots cooking their brains off. Because together with the constant harangue about the dangers of Al-Qaeda, maybe the brainwashing has been pushed a little too far, and people have been pushed to the edge of freak out. And it's one thing to have somebody just in a city square freaking out and screaming about Al-Qaeda, but airplanes, pilots with hundreds of lives in their hands, I think we need to keep them calmed down a little bit. Just a little tiny bit. So, who knows? My theory, you know, I'm leaning toward his brain got cooked by those TSA scanners, because nobody really knows whether they're safe or not. Now, we have been talking, we continue to talk about the use of covert TV cameras in the protest movements, the Occupy movements, in order to fully document what is going on ahead of the potential for the corporate media to misrepresent the conflicts between the police and the protesters to the general public, and to possibly act as a deterrent against the police violating constitutional rights. If they're not sure if they're being photographed or videotaped, they tend to pull back. And we've talked about the cameras that are inside the eyeglasses and the pens from Diginet before, and we've had the Diginet company on our show, and there's a new one out called the Luxi. And we're going to have somebody from their show on here next week as well. And they're very nice devices, and it's kind of very useful to have, I think. This one here, this Luxi, is basically, it looks like an oversized Bluetooth headset for your cell phone, and it is. But it's also a camcorder, and in addition to recording video and sound, it will actually send the video and sound to your smartphone over the Bluetooth, and from your smartphone it can go out to another destination automatically. So just by confiscating your cameras, the police cannot stop the video and audio from getting out there. Now, that's a preface to the situation. As you're probably aware, all over the country, police are trying to tell everybody it's against the law for you to videotape the police beating the crud out of somebody. And there was a landmark case in Boston where they charged a man who recorded an incident of police brutality with a violation of the illegal wiretapping laws. And the court took the position that if you are out there in public and you're witnessing the police beating somebody up and you take video of them, it is the same crime as if you go over to your neighbor's house and you splice into their phone lines or their computer cable and you start looting their private information. Obviously, on the face of it, it's not the same thing because the police are out in public. They're paid by public money and they are constrained to obey the public laws, and it is up to the public to make sure the government holds to the letter of the law. So the city of Boston charged this guy who videotaped the police brutality, and they lost the case. Let me back up and give that to you one more time. The man who was charged with violating the wiretapping laws for videotaping the police in public was found not guilty, was acquitted. And once again, the legal precedent is if you are in public and you see the police committing a violation of constitutional rights, you have every legal right under the First Amendment to photograph it, videotape it, and make it public on the internet. If they come up and say it's against the law for you to be videotaping here, you can tell them, no, the courts have ruled I have a legal right to be here to document what you're doing. If they then violate your constitutional rights by confiscating your camera or arresting you or beating the crap out of you, get yourself a good lawyer and sue those police officers for everything they own and tell the court, I don't want the taxpayers to pay for this. I want the police officers held personally liable for violations of the Constitution. I think this idea that the police can do whatever they want, tase people to death, beat people up, and when they get sued, the taxpayers have to cover it, that needs to come to an end. Because the whole purpose of a legal settlement is to punish people who break the law. That's the reason they do it to the American people. And we need to do it back. If an individual police officer violates the Constitution and breaks the law, that individual police officer has to be held liable and has to pay all the costs himself personally. That sends a message to the police. You may not violate the Constitution any longer. And it prevents the government from turning around and punishing the taxpayers for bothering to sue them. Yes, you sued us for violating your constitutional rights, and we lost the case. We're just going to take the money from you anyway and hand it back to you. That's what it means. When you sue the police and they take it out of tax money, is they're saying, yeah, we lost the case. We're going to take a couple of $1,000 from you and then give it right back to settle the settlement. That's not a solution. They're incentivizing the police for brutality and failure, which reminds me, apparently there's this National Police Union that anytime a police officer shoots an American citizen, they write him a check for $500, ostensibly to deal with the stress of having been involved in an officer-involved shooting. But it sounds to me like they're paying a bounty on Americans, $500 each. That's pretty sick. But anyway, again, another court case basically saying, you have the legal right to photograph and videotape the police when they are out in public misbehaving. So, all righty, let's see, moving right along here. We're all familiar with Helen Thomas. She is an absolute heroine, modern day Edward R. Murrow. Spoke truth to power, paid the price for it, got kicked out of the White House. Now, just to slap her around a little bit more and send the message, thou shalt not criticize Israel no matter what. Helen Thomas wanted to purchase a table at the upcoming White House Correspondents Association annual dinner, and they have refused. Now, this is particularly outrageous because this is the 50th anniversary of Helen Thomas' successful campaign to allow women journalists to attend the White House Correspondents Association annual dinner. Prior to Helen Thomas, it was an all-guys event here. And now they're saying, no, you can't have a table here. They're going to give her two tickets because she's a former president of the association, but they're not going to let her have a table because you just don't criticize Israel and expect to stay in this business. By the way, interesting little story coming out of Canada. One of their naval intelligence officers was caught spying for, quote, unquote, a foreign entity, and the judge has already issued a ruling saying nobody can report on this case and can report on the foreign entity, which tells us it's Israel, because if it was anybody else, it'd be banner headlines spy caught spying for Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan or any of these other countries we want to invade. But when the judge comes out before it even gets going and says you're not allowed to talk about who this guy was spying for, that tells you it was Israel. Amazing here. All righty, coming to the end of a break. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. The former president of Colombia has basically come out and said that America's drug war is an utter failure. And it absolutely is. Why? Because too many people in the government are making money off the drug trade. The CIA is making money off the drug trade. American banks are making money off the money laundering from the drug trade. The Queen of England's bank has been caught laundering money for the drug trade. Not surprising, Britain once fought a war in China over their right to sell opium to the Chinese people, triggered the Boxer Rebellion. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
America, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk with Dave in New York. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to our show. What's on your mind today?
Michael, you're doing very well today. I congratulate you for bringing up compound interest. If interest is mathematically wrong, then compounding it is like putting that wrong on steroids. I also point out that people who benefit from compound interest are also part of the thievery that goes on. They are not exempt. Anybody who lives off of compound interest, it goes without saying, is also part of the problem. But you also mentioned the personal liability of policemen.
Okay, now, can we back up here a little bit? Can we back up here a little bit? Because I want to be very, very clear on something.
Yeah.
I understand and accept that the concept of banking serves a valid social purpose as long as the bank is a voluntary institution where, you know, it's off to one side and those who choose to deposit their money there can do so if they wish, and those who need to borrow money to build businesses and so forth can do so if they wish. That, I think, is a very healthy form of banking. But when you have the bank in charge of the nation's economy to the point where all of the currency in circulation is the product of a loan at interest, and the choice whether to use a bank, and the choice whether to use a bank or, may I finish?
Yeah.
Whether the choice to use a bank or not is taken away from the ordinary working people, that is when you are under a system of rule by the myth of compound interest and rule by debt. That I'm opposed to. I don't think banks in and of themselves need to go away. They just need to be returned to the position of being an option in our lives.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, the other thing about personal liability, though, as regards policemen personally, should apply to all these other people personally in terms of financial misdeeds. And what prevents us all from getting to them is this thing called the corporation, which the justification for a corporation was originally to pool large sums of money to accomplish some project and then go away, like building a canal, building whatever it was. And then they had perpetual corporations, which came about in about the 17th century, I think. But in any case, those corporations were set up for one purpose, to protect the people who were running them from personal damages from the malfeasance or irresponsibility of running their businesses. And so what we have
Let me clarify something here, and I'm probably going to have to keep you through the station identification break. We're almost coming up on that right now.
Okay, fine.
The original intent of corporate protection was to protect corporate officers from personal losses resulting from the normal operation of the corporation. And I think there, again, is some merit to that. The problem is now the laws are being interpreted to protect the heads of corporations from illegal activity conducted by the corporation, and that is an absolute perversion of the law. But, again, that's what we're seeing here with this situation in 2008 where the federal government just said, we're not going to investigate the mortgage-backed security fraud. We're not going to prosecute it. We're not going to arrest anybody. We're just going to loot the American people to pay it all off and make it go away.
It wasn't the first time something like that happened, but it is one of the...
No, it really isn't. Dave, got to take a break here. We'll be right back.